Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
Hey church, thanks so much for joining us. We're really excited about this message that it's going to be a little bit different for Mick and I today. Just talking about, I guess, a personal reason for this actual topic.
Yeah, I think, and for us, given some of the changes we're seeing in restrictions and where we're hopeful of, you know, being able to head towards as a church, we just felt like this was a really useful conversation and something we've been talking about a bit over the last couple of weeks as we haven't been able to meet together and the things that we've missed about that and, you know, why we believe it is so important to be able to come together and gather as a church family.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this really does tie in quite nicely with the Book of Acts stuff that we've, the series that we've done. Hopefully you'll kind of like be able to draw from some of that content that we've done and just that incredible story of just the birth and the rise of the church. And that's all kind of interwoven. But this is a standalone message, I think, because of this time in this season that we're in. That it's certainly something that we wanted to focus on. So, you know, for me, when we talk about the church and the importance of church, you know, there's lots of opinions and there's lots of views on it, but I guess we just wanted to share a little bit from our heart. And undoubtedly for us, the church gathering together has been and always will be God's idea. And so, you know, the Old Testament clearly guides and shows us a model of the people, God's chosen people gathering together, the importance of that. And we see it emphasized through the Book of Acts, being launched in the Book of Acts. But for me, the church is the most important, and I say these words carefully, the most important organization, community, group, club, you know, I don't attest to those kind of descriptions of the church people. But for any kind of business or organization in society today, I believe the local church is the most important that exists on this planet. You know, and David Watson, the great English preacher, actually who filled churches and did crusades in tents outside, all that sort of stuff. He said this, he said, "It is the church that is willing to die to worldly standards that will know the power of Christ's resurrection. It may be envied for its depths of loving relationships or for its spontaneous joy. It may be hated and persecuted for its revolutionary lifestyle, exposing the hollow values and destructive selfishness of the society it seeks to serve, but it certainly cannot be ignored. When God reigns among his people, they become a city on a hill and cannot be hidden." What a great description of what the church is. There's something should be different about the church, something different about us because we are the church. And in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 to 16, Paul writes to this young pastor, Timothy, and just gently and lovingly reminds him of the importance of the church, the people gathering together. And he says in verse 15, "As God's household," describing the church as God's household, "which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth." And here we have the church, gathering of God's people is the church of the living God. That is just such a powerful statement. And the word church here that Paul uses means those that are called out ones, those that have been called out from the world and called, separated unto God, in the world but not of the world. They're set apart unto the living God who dwells among them and in them. And I just find this fascinating because the reality is none of us are perfect. None of us, we're all a little bit broken, a little bit fractured, but we're a people that have been marked by God's love. And when we gather together, there should be something that's really distinctly different. So, you know, as we get into this idea of who the church is and why we think it's so important and so valuable, the church is God's plan. It's his purpose for us. I don't believe that's changed. The method and how we do that might, but the principle of church gathering together hasn't changed. So for us, though, we just want to just to chat about that briefly.
Yeah, totally. And mate, I think you're perfectly qualified to have this conversation. You are the man that loves church more than any other man I know. And that's a compliment, by the way. That's absolutely a compliment. And you would hope that as our senior pastor, you do. But I think for us, we just wanted to explore a little bit about what we love about church and why we love church, the church as a whole, and then our church specifically as well. But I think you just need to grasp that this is not a deep-seated theological conversation. We're not looking to pull apart Old Testament versus New Testament, what they say about the church, and go through that. This is a personal discussion, a personal conversation, maybe trying to grab a little glimpse of our heart, how we feel about church and what we feel about it. And I also just need to get that in no way are we saying that God is limited to moving in a physical location. So when we come together as a church, because we know that God is limitless. He can move in any capacity, in any way he wants. He's not bound by isolation or restriction rules. He can move online, in line, overline, in person. I don't even know what those things all are, but he's limitless. And we've got some great testimonies, even over the last few weeks coming out of our Alpha course, as we did our Holy Spirit encounter weekend via Zoom, and we saw people being prayed for, deliverances happening, Holy Spirit encounters taking place. So we're not suggesting that God is only limited to moving when we come together as a church. We're not saying this is a deep-seated theological conversation. This is a personal discussion that we want to have with you. And so, mate, as the person who loves church more than any other person, I guess I just pose you the question, like, what is it about church that you love, or why do you hold church so dearly?
Yeah, mate, that's a great question. And I'd love to ask the people watching, you know, like how they would answer that. But you know, I guess if given the privilege of being able to express, I guess, my love for the church, love for people, God's people, the privilege and honour that it is to gather together, to be a part of a church family. I grew up in a large family, but I also have grown up very blessed to grow up in strong, stable churches, and grew up around people that have loved and supported me, saw stuff in me I before I could see it and speak words of life and hope and encouragement. Destiny prophesied over, and was exposed to the presence of God and just what that is at a young age. And I'm incredibly blessed by that, and could actually contrast that to what the world had to offer. And nothing that the world had to offer me compared to being in the presence of God from a young age and throughout. Yeah. And so that's always something. So I am so grateful. I guess the key for me, my first one for me, Mick, would be just relationships and that sense of family. And that's something that we strive for here at Compass Church and try to live out practically. And look, the reality is I'm flawed, you're flawed. We're all a bit broken, messed up, and make mistakes. You know, but, you know, we're flawed, God's not. You know, the church is imperfect. God is not imperfect. He's perfect. And we're all a little bit broken and messed up, and God is not. And he doesn't let us down or forsake. But yet, you know, the amazing thing is that God in his infinite wisdom allows us to represent him, to be his hands and feet, to be the ongoing incarnation, if you like. Jesus was God personified in the flesh, and he's asked us to continue on and to keep his mission going. That, you know, that's a crazy church thought that he allows us to do so. And I very much see the church as family and as relationship being key. And I guess it does sadden me that, you know, some people just see God as a quick fix, or, hey, when life's not going good, I'll just drop into church and I'll just connect with Jesus, treat him like a one-night stand relationally. And, hey, when, you know, I've got what I want and things are back better or things are better, then they'll just go off and go back to whatever normal is. And it breaks my heart because, for me, those people haven't experienced that radical, unconditional, amazing love that God's got to offer. And that also should be over time experienced through family and relationship. Yeah. And so, again, for me, you know, as Compass Church, we value family, we value relationship, and I think that's one of the most beautiful things. And I know I've been hurt by the church, and I hate to say it, but it's true. I mean, I know I've hurt people not intentionally, and I'm so grateful for God's grace towards me and people's grace towards me. So, you know, for me, I think it's...
I was just going to say, I think that's a really valuable thing as we start to come back together. And like, I don't know if you've ever had friends that you haven't seen for a bit and then suddenly you see them, and sometimes it's a bit clunky to start with because you haven't got that continuity of relationship. Just a reminder for all of us that we need to extend grace to each other. I reckon especially at the moment, and as we do start to come together, the same way God extended grace to us. And, you know, I just think it's a good reminder to give each other just a bit of extra compassion, a bit of extra grace while we're finding our feet again.
Yeah, absolutely, mate. And I think that in that, you know, I think sometimes organizations, churches can be so goal driven or outcome focused. But for us, let me be clear, like our focus and our real focus is relationships, genuine connection for you with God and genuine connections with those around us. And I think that, you know, that can't change. And I think that we can't ever kind of like want an outcome or a goal and the end does not justify the means, because in church life, the means are people, and we're not willing to sacrifice, not on my watch, not at Compass, we're not going to sacrifice people or relationships just to get an outcome. And I think that sometimes I read this story about this guy, this American missionary that was in Papua New Guinea, and he spoke to his guide and was asking this guide, you know, what's the best way to get to that village over there? And his guide looked at him a little bit puzzled and he said, well, actually, if we go along the bush track, we'll be able to actually meet a whole bunch of people and be able to sit down and talk. But if we go the coastal route, the sun's out, it's going to be a hotter way to go. But there's certainly this old guy along the way that's got some amazing stories about World War II. But if we go the road track, you can meet some of my wife's family and get to know them. So which way do you want to go? And this American missionary was just like, no, you're not. I want the best way. And the guy just didn't get it. Like the Papua New Guinean understanding of any journey was relationships. Mm. How can you form relationships? And I think that's a biblical way. And I believe that's the way that Jesus did it.
Yeah.
We've got a mission. We've got a vision. We've got a strategic plan. And we've got measurable kind of things on how we kind of gauge how we're going with that. But ultimately, like if you don't have authentic, real relationships in that, what's the point?
Yep.
What is the point? And so for me, mate, relationships, family, right up there.
Yeah. For me, thanks for asking. For me, I think...
So, Michael, what about you, mate?
Oh, thanks, mate. Good question. I think for me, like, I being at church and gathering together as a church community, it reminds me that my life is not all about me. And I know it's astounding. It's a revelation I've had. My wife's been telling me for years it's not all about me, but apparently being at church should remind us that it's not actually all about us. Church is not about what you can get, but we should also be saying, hey, what can I give? Who can I sow into? Who can I be a part of? It reminds us that this is a space where we can come together. We can use our giftings, not so people pat us on the back and go, man, how gifted are you? But so that we can actually serve and sow into other people. I think it keeps us kingdom focused. It reminds us that we don't live in a little world, but we live like in a bigger, broader space, that the kingdom of God is there. We are part of God's bigger picture, his meta narrative for his creation. It gives us the ability to do what the Great Commission says, like sow into other people, to make disciples. And, you know, just to plug the discipleship bandwagon, we would believe that we need to be in those three phases of discipleship. We need to be humble enough that we are allowing ourselves to be discipled by someone. We need to be discipling into someone. And you don't have to be a leader to disciple into someone. Like anyone if you've walked the journey one day more than someone, you can disciple into them and help them and guide them and pray with them and journey with them. And we also need to just be journeying in genuine relationship. And Jesus modeled this with his disciples, journeying in genuine relationship with people along the way. For me, it brings me a bit of perspective. Sometimes in my life, I feel a lot, like Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians, like an alien or a foreigner, or being in a foreign land, that so much of my social circle and my friendship groups and our families that we hang out with regularly are not of church. And so there's a, you know, different belief system and a different moral compass. And, you know, coming together in church reminds me that I'm not the foreigner that I sometimes feel like that I am out there, that I'm a citizen of something much bigger, the kingdom of God. And so that for me, that's really valuable. I think it aligns my worldview with God's worldview. And in Psalm 73, it talks about the fact that sometimes we look at the world and it's really hard to understand it. And he says in verse 17, when I tried to understand this, it troubled me deeply. And it wasn't until I entered the sanctuary of God that I understood. So there is such great value in coming together. And the other one for me, and I've talked about this a lot, especially with the blokes, it's the antelope on the outside of the herd that gets eaten by the lion. So being there's a safety in numbers, that there's an ability to come together, to keep each other strong, to keep each other fired up in our faith. There's an ability when someone stumbles that we pick them up and we collectively keep them safe and journey together.
Yeah, totally, mate. And I think that we're all going to be in different spaces with this thought about the potential of coming back together. And I want to acknowledge those people, you know, that maybe just just don't have or don't feel like you've got the energy or the drive to want to actually reconnect. And I guess I'm saying that, look, we understand that, but I think that one of the enemy's ploys is to try to get us isolated and keep us isolated and to try and kind of, get us thinking in ways that aren't productive or conducive to building our relationship with God and to try to get us in a place where we'll just isolate ourselves and not put ourselves in a position where we will grow in our relationship with God and with others. And so I guess I just want to encourage you just to reach out if there's anything that we can do to support you and encourage you in that. If you're going to find it hard in actually re-engaging, please let us know. And we just want to make sure that we're there and support you the best that we possibly can. So I think the next one for me, Mick, is like, and I love this. I love this about church. And it's not just the music and stuff and the style of songs, because, you know, not every song we sing I actually like. I know you love every song, but
especially the carols.
Oh, Christmas carols, yeah, bring it for sure. No, but look, I think, you know, for me, worship is something that I genuinely love about, and I'm going to talk about the presence of God later, but, you know, for me, just that idea of worship, because that's what we're created to do. And I touched on this in a message recently. I think that, and I just want to challenge people who don't enjoy worship. I just think that when you genuinely love something or someone, you will articulate that. You will express that in some way. If you get excited about your footy team, you get excited about anything in life, you don't sit there. It comes out in some way. Your body will express it. And I think that when you've got a revelation of God's love, you can't keep that in. Yeah. And there is something unique. We can worship at home, absolutely. Like we said before, we're not limiting this to just gathering together. But I believe there's something powerful. There is something beautiful about coming together as a people and worshiping God. You know, Psalm 122 says, "I rejoice with those who said to me, 'Let us go to the house of the Lord. It is where we go to praise the name of the Lord.'" I mean, worship is something that we've been created to do, and we'll be doing that for all eternity. And I think that when we come together and we don't allow our feelings or our circumstances to dictate, they're not the boss of us. We are actually the boss of those things. And as we begin to actually enter into worship together, and you hear other people singing, you hear other people worshiping, something just begins to get stirred in your spirit. And I leave the worship space a different person. And that's a spiritual, that's a supernatural, that's just something that's incredibly, it's a mystery. And I think there's a power in worship that I think comes, you know, there's a refreshing and a replenishing that comes into our soul. It's like, you know, it says like a branch that grows because it's connection to the tree. We thrive when we stay connected to the church. And a key part of the church life and what the Bible mandates us to do is to worship and sing and make music and make a joyful noise. There is something powerful that's life-giving. It creates life flow through us, into us for the week ahead. So, you know, the Bible talks a lot about being planted in the house and flourishing.
Yeah, and I think for me, worship is one of those ones that like is just better together. Like there is certain things that as much as our team has done an amazing job with the online stuff, there is something about being together. Yeah. For me, like it just made me think, like, I don't know if you realize Richmond won the grand final. And so we watched it and it was great. You can weave that in anyway. But we watched it on TV and we had a great time watching it, but it was nothing compared to the experience of, we also won it last year too. I don't know if you realize that, but going to the game and being in a crowd of people, you know, and just engaging in all your senses in this experience. So there's a bunch of stuff for me that is just better when we're doing it together. Cause I think online, it's just so easy to consume. And for me, church isn't about consumption, but about participation.
Yeah.
And we would say we don't want a bunch of fat, lazy consumer Christians. We want a bunch of active participators with faith that is alive. And church is one of those spaces where we get the opportunity to engage our faith and to make our faith not just something we hold, but something we give, something that activates us. You know, and we're talking about things like corporate prayer, singing, worship, communion, the celebration around baptism. Man, I missed that at Easter this year, getting the party spar out and having that celebration that is baptism. I can't wait to see some of the people who have come to faith, even even in the last 6 months, when we've been online, by the grace of God, come together and have the opportunity to celebrate with them when they get baptized. I think for me, it's like thinking about our kids and our grommets and our youth being able to come together and get together. And man, can I just say, as a parent, I get that trying to watch church and have your kids run around is challenging. But there is something of such value about having your kids raised in the house of God. And I'm thankful that my parents did it, whether I liked it or not. Yeah. And I'm saying to our kids now, and my three kids are on varying levels of faith at varying times. But we just say our rule is, as a family, we go to church. Mm. And my kids are at church quite a lot. If you're here on Saturday night, you're going to probably see them. If you're here on Sunday, you're going to see them. They're here throughout the week because they've got nowhere else to go. They're just here because I'm here. But there is something of great value about just having that as a family tradition. So can I just encourage us as parents, make it a priority to get your kids to church. We are doing everything we can to make it a space where we can have our kids come and be celebrated that they are here. Let it be parents first. Let's be their friends later. Make this a tradition, something that is great that we can celebrate and do with our kids.
Totally, mate. And that's one of the things that we said to our girls is that as they were growing up, it's like, it's not because I'm the pastor. If I wasn't the pastor, you know, I love church. I want my kids growing up in the presence of God. I want my kids growing up seeing older people role modeling what it means to be a family, to worship, to pray, to serve, to do all those sort of things. And can I just say, like, you know, for some of the parents out there, you know, you're the parent. Don't let your kids dictate whether you come to church or not. I don't care if I lose friends over this. It's too important. Don't let your kids dictate to you whether you're going to go to church. You're the parent and you just say, hey, this is what we do as a family. I just said, this is what the breaks do. We go to church. And it's, you know, I think that, you know, it's one of those things that I feel strongly about because, you know, like if we let our kids dictate and determine whether we're going to go to church or not, that's just, anyway.
I think for me, just quickly, like there is such great value, like, and I appreciate and a shout out and a thank you to the guys, the blokes in the Life of Our Church especially, who invest into my two boys, who make an effort every week to grab my boys as they're running down the hallway and get down on their level, say hello, ask them, you know, whatever it is, ask them how footy's going, ask them how school's going. Yeah. And I know that they don't give you much back, but I appreciate the investment, that building of relationship, that the fact that my boys are growing up seeing other men of faith at church, happy to be at church, engaged in community. So just a thank you, boys. Mm. It makes a massive difference to me as a dad.
Yeah, totally. And I think we extend that to the kids leader and grommets leaders and teams, you know, that just create that atmosphere our kids that they want to be at. And so, you know, I know that I grew up and this leads me to my last one. You know, one of the last thing that I want to bring up, mate, is I love church because of the presence of God. I grew up falling asleep on concrete floors up in Cairns. I grew up falling asleep in Holy Ghost meetings and watching people come to faith in Christ, being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, people prophesying, you know, people being delivered, you know, just incredible stuff just in the presence of God. And I am so grateful for that. And, you know, for me to have leaders and a program where our kids can come and learn about Jesus is awesome. But, you know, for me, you know, the thing about being in the presence of God is so powerful and it's beautiful, life-changing. You know, for me, it's making the priority and making the time to position myself in the presence of God, regardless of how I'm feeling or what's going on, that I think is just something that's just really significant about us gathering together. I mean, when we gather together, we're told that in the midst of two or three, there he is in our midst and he inhabits the praises of his people. So as we're doing that worship stuff we're talking about, something begins to happen and it happens while we're preaching. It happens in conversations that people are having and just saying g'day, and the presence of God is there, that love and that connection and that sense of unity and belonging and that God wants us to have, belonging to him, belonging to something that's bigger than ourselves, his church, globally speaking. And you know, I just love that about the church, that we have this opportunity of coming together as a people to have that fresh encounter, that when we come expectant and we're believing that God's going to turn up, he does. He wants to turn up more than we're actually willing to expect him to. And so for me, I think that, you know, I love to preach. I continue to do that. I believe it's a biblical mandate. But unless the Holy Spirit, His presence is there to bring the word to life, it's living and active, and the Holy Spirit takes that and brings revelation to hearts and illuminates in that in people's hearts and lives to bring about real life transformation. It's just a nice talk. It's just an interesting, fascinating, maybe engaging talk, entertainment if you like. But when the presence of God is there and the Holy Spirit is just illuminating stuff in people's lives, I think, you know, we a great sermon is memorable when it's got the touch of God and the presence of God in the house, and people are listening to that and it becomes personal revelation and experience and encounter. That's when it becomes eternal change in somebody's life. And I love that God's not done yet. And I'm so looking forward to when we can get back together. And as a church, we're going to resume services when we've got 100 people. We're allowed to meet. We're going to actually resume kind of gathering, physical gatherings. But our departments and other areas are going to be able to utilize the other numbers that are able to meet together and things. And so stay tuned, stay posted with various departments and different things you're involved with. But as a church, we are so looking forward at coming back together. That's just a couple of the things that we love about church. And we could keep talking a lot about about
yes,
church.
You could.
Yeah, I could. But you know, I love the church. There's no greater cause to be living for. And you know, and that's not just because I'm a pastor. That, you know, we're taking the church everywhere we go into the marketplace in every sector of life.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally, mate.
Well, mate.
I'm done.
You're done?
I'm done.
We're done. Hey, thanks for listening, and we'll look forward to catching you next week.
I can't wait to see ya.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.